When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Training camp is about to open. We'll tell you what to watch out for next on the Big Blue Breakdown. Hi, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino. You know, Hard Knocks has taken you through the trials and tribulations of the New York Giants offseason, and now it's time to get down to the business on the field. The rookies came in last week, the veterans report for their physicals on Tuesday, and the first practice of training camp, albeit in helmets, shirts, and shorts, is on Wednesday. The players won't start hitting in full practice gear until Monday, July 29th. So what should you be looking for as the team digs in before its September 8th opener against the Minnesota Vikings? Well, first up, there's the preseason. Now, it's only three games, and based on head coach Brian Daboll's past, he's like most NFL coaches who are unlikely to give a whole lot of reps to his projected starters. That's why it will be critical to see how these players perform in those dual practice sessions against the Detroit Lions on August 5th and 6th. Those sessions lead into the preseason opener with the Lions on August 8th. The Giants will also have a dual practice session against the Jets on August 21st. Now, coaches often cite the enhanced safety measures taken through their ability to oversee these controlled scrimmages. They also believe that these sessions better mimic the competition that the starters will see during the regular season. So we will watch how he deploys his players, but we'll also be watching to see if Daboll continues to call the offensive plays as he did during the spring. He's yet to commit if he'll take over the job after offensive coordinator Mike Kafka did it for the first two seasons of the administration. But a change does appear to be a real possibility. Kafka was promoted to assistant head coach in the offseason, and he will be heavily involved in the weekly game plan, regardless of how this whole thing shakes out. He'll also be the conduit to the quarterbacks on the bench during the game. Now, the Giants have a new defensive coordinator in Shane Bowen. He comes over after six seasons with the Titans. He called Tennessee's defense for the past 3 years. Bowen favors a four-man front with minimal blitzing, although his unit has been known for being highly ranked against the run, something the Giants had trouble with under blitz-happy defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. And on special teams, former Jets assistant Michael Cobriol has replaced veteran coordinator Thomas McGahee. It also would be very important to watch new offensive line coach Carmen Brasillo. He brings a stellar resume with him after two seasons with the Las Vegas Raiders, following 3 years with the New England Patriots, where he learned under offensive line guru Dante Scarnecchia. Brasillo has been praised for his attention to detail, his patience, and the way he builds his teachings from the bottom up. Now, you could argue that he was the most important offseason addition to the offensive line room. Among the returnees on the assistant coaching staff are highly respected veterans Andre Patterson. He works with the defensive line, although this year they're also going to allow him to assist with the edge rushers. And Jerome Henderson, who's really got his work cut out for him thanks to a very young secondary. So now let's get to the Giants roster. We'll start with the defense since it's likely to be the strongest of the three units. The most dramatic change since last season is the addition of edge rusher Brian Burns via trade from Carolina. At only 26 years old, Burns is a two-time Pro Bowl player who the Giants believe still has plenty of upside. Burns has 46 sacks and 95 quarterback hits over five seasons with the Panthers. But he's also very good against the run. So you've got him on one side and Kayvon Thibodeau, who grabbed 11.5 sacks last year, on the other side. Thibodeau nearly tripled his sack total from his rookie campaign, but his production waned over the final month of the 23 season. I would expect him to improve his endurance during his third year as he takes his game to another level. He and Burns give the Giants one of the best edge rushing duos in the NFL. And again, both of them play very well against the run and on the pass rush. Of course, they're flanking a big guy in the middle. That would be two-time Pro Bowl nose tackle Dexter Lawrence, who's combined for 12 sacks and 49 quarterback hits over the past two seasons. And we all know how he can intimidate an opposing offense. The core theory here is pretty simple, that a standard five-man offensive line cannot double-team more than one member of your front four. Well, which two of those three Giants impact defenders up front are you going to single up? Now, maybe that offense is going to be forced to pull back on its game plan by keeping in a tight end and or maybe a running back, which means fewer options in the passing game. This is exactly why the Giants needed to make the deal for Burns. He provides a third bona fide impact player who can alter what the other team's offense wants to do. You can't have nearly as much of an effect on the other team's plays if you only have two impact players up front. Now, the biggest question in the front seven is the other defensive tackle spot. That's the fourth man on the line. May the best man win. There are plenty of contenders. Nacho Nunez-Roches, the veteran, is back. The young guy, Ryder Anderson, dealt with a lot of injuries so far. He's in the mix. So is former Bill Jordan Phillips. Jordan Riley, second-year player, drafted on the third day last year. And G.J. Davidson's been around for a while, but he's always fought injuries. We'll have to see if he's healthy enough this year to compete. The second line of defense is anchored by middle linebacker Bobby Okereke, coming off of an all-pro season without missing a snap. He is all set, and that provides the Giants with a very strong triangle, if you will, between the numbers. Outside linebacker Micah McFadden had a breakout second season, and the multidimensional Isaiah Simmons have each displayed great athletic ability, specifically on the blitz, and round out a terrific front seven. It will be very interesting, however, to see how pass rusher Azeez Ojulari and versatile veteran Boogie Basham fit into the equation. Ojulari's early career has been littered with injuries and inconsistencies. Basham did not appear to fit into the system in Buffalo. The Bills, of course, drafted him. And then he got traded to the Giants and was buried on the depth chart behind Hoddy Ward. Not the case this year. Bowen does appear eager to unlock his skill set, which looks as though it's able to hold the edge and even perhaps potentially be part of that three technique from the inside pass rush up front. Here's where things get a bit more cloudy, though. How will the secondary shake out? Former number one pick, Tay Banks, will be expected to take his game to another level in his second season at right corner. He went through some natural rookie bumps along the way, although the sky's the limit for him. But who mans the other side? Third-year pro Cordell Flott has a leg up on the rest, but he's also missed time because of injuries during each of his first two NFL seasons while playing both inside and outside. I've always believed that his best position is the boundary, where he effectively uses the sideline and has sufficient length and anticipation to close on the football. Should Flott be unable to hold down the spot, the lead candidates to challenge are veteran Nick McCloud and the young Trey Hawkins. Both have quality traits, although McLeod has more game experience and has performed at a high level when given the chance at each of the past two seasons. Hawkins had a terrific rookie camp, and he shot right into the starting lineup last summer. But remember, it was quickly apparent that he needed more seasoning, and then he slid down on the depth chart. Now, one of the deep wild cards here is Aaron Robinson, a former third-round pick who blew out his knee nearly two seasons ago. He continues to rehab and has a full toolbox of traits, but we just don't know how much the injuries have robbed of his skills. The Giants also used this year's third-round pick on Drew Phillips out of Kentucky. He's going to compete in the slot where his shiftiness and feistiness should allow him to hold up. He'll be battling with veteran Darnay Holmes and former Jaguar Trey Herndon, both who have seen time on the inside and on the outside. Safety Jason Pinnock fared well in his first season as a starter with the Giants. You'll remember that 100-plus yard interception return for a pick six down in Miami. But he's going to have a new partner in the defensive backfield. It could be third-year pro Dane Belton, who always seems to be around the ball whenever he gets into a game. Or could it be highly touted second-round pick Tyler Newbin? Newbin is a big hitter and a ball hawk. He pulled down 13 career interceptions over 55 games at the University of Minnesota. He picked up things quickly during the spring and has to be considered a threat to start right out of the box. Former Eagles and Patriots veteran Jalen Mills has been a starter for most of his eight NFL seasons. Well, he's also got some experience at cornerback. He becomes part of the insurance policy. In short, the Giants should reside in the upper half of the league's defenses and could easily be as high as the top 10 should the unit stay away from injuries and play to its full potential. So, to quickly recap here, there are four battles that should command your attention on this side of the ball during camp. Defensive tackle, left cornerback, slot corner, and one of the safety spots. It's not that the Giants are barren there. We're just not sure what type of production they're going to get out of guys who have shown an ability to show some skills and talent. These are the variable spots that will determine where the defense lands because there is plenty of talent throughout the rest of the unit. And of course, there will be some tussles on the back end of the depth chart where special teams always comes into play. We'll return to Big Blue Breakdown with a look at the offense and the special teams right after this timeout.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. You know, the Giants' mission on offense is simple. Score more points. This team was limited to less than 16 points per game last season, which was third from the bottom in the NFL. That puts entirely too much pressure on the defense to keep the team in games. Perhaps the best formula for the Giants to have meaningful games down the stretch is one that harkens back to their 2022 playoff campaign. There was only a 6-point negative differential between the offense and defense for the entire season, as they both checked in at an average of nearly 22 points per game. How did the offense do it? They were seventh in red zone efficiency at 63% and had the second fewest turnovers with 16. The biggest challenge they face in repeating this style of play from 22 will be their altered running game, where they ranked fourth with an average of 148 yards per day. Saquon Barkley is gone, and he's been replaced by Devin Singletary at a backfield by committee. Now, it's unrealistic to expect that they'll run for that kind of yardage with those new players in the lineup. Based on the current personnel, it would appear the Giants plan to use more of a controlled short passing game to make up for some of what will be lost on the ground. They also have a significantly more explosive receiving core than they did 2 years ago, and this should lead to a big increase in yardage after the catch and deep passing plays downfield. But we'll get to more on that in just a bit. The running back depth chart includes three players who have strong receiving skills, with Singletary, Eric Gray, and fifth-round pick Tyrone Tracy, who began his NCAA career as a receiver. Singletary is also astute at picking up the blitz and is more of a steady, straight-ahead runner than Gray or Tracy, who are more likely to run to the outside and maybe juke defenders to gain yardage. However, there is no true power back among this trio. In other words, they're missing somebody who has a big reputation for pushing the pile and gaining that extra yard or yard and a half once the mass of humanity starts clobbering the guy with the football. Now, this becomes extremely difficult and important if the rebuild offensive line does not blow open holes or get the necessary push, or for that matter, just find a crease. The Giants are expected to start former All-Pro Andrew Thomas and the often injured Evan Neal at the tackles. Second-year pro John Michael Schmitz gets the call at center, with veteran free agent signees Jermaine Illuminor and John Runyon Jr. at the guards. Now, you know what you're going to get out of Thomas. He's a former All-Pro, and as long as he's healthy, he's going to be a force on the field. Illuminor and Runyon have a steady pro resume, although they are not known as precipitating a power running game. JMS went through some rookie growing pains, but has a strong reputation for his smarts and technique. This brings us to Neal, who enters a show-me season. The former seventh-round pick in 22 has not lived up to his billing, primarily because of injuries, but also inconsistent technique. He missed four games as a rookie and another 10 last season, and now he's coming off of ankle surgery. The Giants need him to have a breakout season. It is critical for their offense. Now, he is a former seventh-round overall pick. Again, they need him. They'll have to shake up the apple cart on the fly if he can't get it done. And this is why the versatile Illuminor was one of their key offseason targets. He comes over from the Raiders, where he held down the right tackle spot for Coach Brasillo. In fact, he and Brasillo were together going back to their days with the Patriots. Of course, moving him out to right tackle means they'd have to plug in someone at left guard, and that's an undesirable two changes in one swing of the bat. As far as Runyon goes, he's never missed a game since being drafted by the Packers in 2020. So the Giants think they have their starting five offensive linemen, but what about the second unit if called upon? Center Austin Slotman, guard Aaron Stinney, and tackle Matt Nelson were added as veteran free agents from the Vikings, Bucks, and Lions, respectively. Stinney has the most accomplished resume, having been a part-time starter in Tampa Bay. But the depth chart remains slippery because the Giants also have two third-year draft choices back in the room after being sidetracked by injuries. Former third-round guard Joshua Ezeudu worked at both tackles this spring after getting some reps at left tackle last season. And former fifth-round pick Marcus McKeithen has a frame that screams power guard in the run game. Will either of these two, or both, put their best foot forward and force their way up the ladder? No matter who's up front, it's imperative for the Giants to cut last year's sack total of 85 by more than half. And this brings us to quarterback Daniel Jones. It's been an inconsistent five seasons, littered with injuries, a subpar offensive depth chart, and sporadic play. But no matter how you slice it, he's got to produce this season. The team is committed to him as the opening day starter, and he'll have to continue earning his reps as the season wears on. By all accounts, he's over last year's torn ACL and neck injuries. He's also chiseled his frame during an intense rehab program. The team has added an insurance policy in backup Drew Lock, who's only started 23 games over his first four NFL seasons in Denver and Seattle, but has quality skills that could provide some upside if necessary. And then there's Tommy DeVito, New Jersey's own, and his presence really creates a roster crunch. He proved the doubters wrong as an undrafted rookie when the Giants went 3-3 over his six starts last season. Few teams are willing to utilize a roster spot for a third quarterback on their 53. But it's highly likely that DeVito gets claimed if the Giants try to sneak him through to the practice squad. There are three ways for him to stick, and it starts with him having a strong camp and a strong preseason. That in turn likely makes the Giants fearful of losing him. And finally, the team is going to have to be healthy enough at other positions going into the season that they can afford to stash a third-string quarterback on the back of the 53. So DeVito really only has a strong grip or control on one of these three elements. Which brings us back to Jones and how he has to excel with whatever situation he's faced with. The Giants are putting a lot on his shoulders, given the retooled offensive line and revamped running game. But they've also provided him with the most talented group of receivers that he's had since he got to New York. First-round pick Malik Nabers out of LSU had a spring camp that showed he's got the advertised skills to be an immediate impact player. The hands, the quickness, the routes, it all adds up to yards after the catch and big-time, big-play explosiveness. Wandale Robinson showed how valuable he can be as a kind of gadget receiver over the second half of last season after his surgically repaired knee came around. And then, you can't forget about the veteran Darius Slayton, a reliable 15 yards per catch producer over his career. He's back for another go-round, and so is second-year speed burner Jalen Hyatt, who's added some more muscle to his bones as he adapts to the physicality of the NFL and learns how to deal with some of these big, tough corners who want to impede your routes. So those are the top four on the wide receiver depth chart. But the Giants will probably keep five or six. Nobody keeps four receivers on the 53. So what about those battles? Well, here are some of the contenders. Isaiah Hodgins, he was impactful down the stretch in 22, but was awfully quiet in 23. Isaiah McKenzie, a versatile and reliable target who has ties to this staff from their days with the Buffalo Bills. Allen Robinson, oh, he's the gray beard of the group, a three-time 1,000-yard possession target who brings length and craftiness and blocking prowess in the run game. Bryce Ford Wheaton. He is so intriguing to me because this is a skyscraper who appeared on special teams and looked to be making the 53 last year before he tore his ACL. Former Steeler Miles Boykin, another skyscraper at 6'4 and a demon on special teams during his days in Pittsburgh. He's here to try to win a spot. John Giles, another tall receiver. And Ayer Asante, a diminutive receiver, but with great quicks, both flashed during spring drills. And Dennis Houston is a practice squad holdover who the Giants thought enough of. And this list doesn't even include Gunnar Olszewski, who was a standout punt returner after his midseason arrival from the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is a very, very crowded receivers room, and every single snap at practice is going to be important, as these guys will likely not get enough snaps and targets during the three preseason games to truly show their wares. Now, there's also a bit of a dilemma at tight end as well, thanks to Darren Waller's retirement. I mean, that's a lot of production they were hoping to get out of that veteran. So they hope that third-year pro Daniel Bellinger can take a big step forward after he got flagged six times and was inconsistent in his blocking last season. Penn State rookie Theo Johnson will start camp on the PUP list with a sore hip, although his skill set has already shown that he can be a much bigger threat in the passing game after his limited usage that way when he was with the Nittany Lions. Lawrence Cager is another receiving threat who has drawn praise from Coach Daboll, and he also has veteran blockers Chris Manhertz and Jack Stoll hoping to stick on the 53 as well. Special teams. Well, we're all wondering how the new kickoff rules will play out. Talked earlier about, you know, the fact that Olszewski is probably the favorite to return punts. But what about kickoffs? There are two interesting reserve running back candidates who may have a chance. And if they do well, maybe they'll squeeze their way onto the roster. That's Dante Turbo Miller and Jacob Sailors, formerly of the USFL. There is so much confidence in kicker Graham Gano. It seems like he's been around forever. And, you know, until he injured one of his knees last year, he was as good as gold. Well, he says he's back from that knee injury. They've been very careful bringing him along. But if he is back to full health and is Graham Gano once again, the Giants have no concerns there. And punter Jamie Gillen showed some improvement last season. Should he continue, that's only going to be good news for the Giants as well. Now, one thing to mention, even though we're only in July, is that the Giants' schedule, well, it kind of favors them in one way. And that is, you'll remember what general manager Joe Shane had said during Hard Knocks, that, you know, if we have an injured quarterback, we can't start 0-3. That's not a hole we want to be in. Well, the Giants, during the first 2 weeks of this season, will host the Minnesota Vikings and then go on the road to take on the Washington Commanders. Both teams are in flux at quarterback. The Vikings with Sam Darnold, newcomer, and or rookie J.J. McCarthy. Washington, in all likelihood, is going to open up with Jaden Daniels, their first-round draft choice. So that gives their offenses a bit uncertainty. And against the Giants' formidable pass rush, I'd say the edge goes to Big Blue there. And what about defensively? Both teams have totally retooled their pass rush. Washington dealt a couple of their big-time players away last year. And Minnesota got badly hit by free agency. And so this is another area that both of those teams are going to have to try to navigate, especially during the early portion of the schedule. And I often like to use the boxing analogy about how you like to win in your own weight class. It's one thing if you're stepping up, but Minnesota and Washington are clearly in the Giants' weight class. Those are two winnable games right out of the box before the Giants have to deal with a very difficult gauntlet in weeks 3-8. But that's another story for another time. We'll be here with practice updates and some live shows all the way through the beginning of September, because you'll be able to catch us three times a week during our regular season schedule. It's all coming up this season on Big Blue Breakdown as part of the New York Giants on SI Network. Until next time, I'm Paul Dottino. So long, everybody.
C Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.